This is Theatre Voice. I'm David Benedict, and we're here to discuss the high theatrical achievements of the year, i.e. the announcement last weekend of the Olivier Awards, which went out from the Hilton Hotel with a lot of flurry and much media excitement. Awards given left, right and centre. And with me to discuss whether they went to the right people and what it was all like are Matt Wolfe and Mark Shenton. Looking down at the list, both of nominations and the winners, which have been widely publicised, it looks to a large degree like the best man or woman won, that this was possibly the dullest list in history and that it was all an utterly predictable affair. Do you agree with that, Matt?
Well, I'm not sure that's entirely fair. I mean, I don't think Cameron McIntosh and Disney would say the best people won. I mean, what was fascinating about it from an industry point of view was that in the musical categories, you had Mary Poppins and the Producers basically neck and neck for much of the ceremony. And in the play categories, you had Festin and the History Boys basically neck and neck. And Festin lost out entirely. The History Boys won 3 awards. And Mary Poppins lost out almost entirely, and the Producers raced ahead. What I find interesting about this, by comparison with the Tonys, is it never seems to be driven by commercial dictates. There's some other logic, whatever that is, and that makes for a fascinating set of winners.
Do you think that it was a fascinating set of winners?
Well, I think there's no logic, and that's probably what explains the entire thing. I mean, I was genuinely surprised and thrilled by Amanda Harris, for example, winning the Best Supporting Performance out over Judi Dench, because Judi Dench is the nation's everybody just adores her, and she normally wins.
And Sam Barnett too,
exactly.
Yeah, from History Boys.
So that was a nice win for her performance in Othello. And I was very disappointed that Festin didn't win. And it was very interesting when Alan Bennett won a Lifetime Achievement Award. He then went on to win the Best Play Award as well and was genuinely himself surprised by it. He sort of said, he didn't have a speech because he'd already been up there once. I think that award perhaps could have gone to Festin. But then we can always argue the toss of which who should win.
Absolutely,
which award.
Or I would say should have gone to the GOAT. It does, in some senses, seem to have been a fairly good year, certainly for musicals. I mean, the one musical we haven't mentioned there is The Woman in White. I suspect Andrew Lloyd Webber was less than pleased that... how many nominations did it have?
5 nominations.
And got a costume award.
One for Best Sound.
One for Best Sound Design.
Well, I would have given Woman in White minus 5 awards, but that's a personal thing. What was odd about the nominations, this has nothing really to do with the awards, was that for a very rich musicals year, there were a lot of people who could have been nominated who weren't. I mean, there were lots of musical performers, for instance, from Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Forum, for instance. I mean, no one was nominated at Grand Hotel. No person was nominated, not Daniel Evans, not Gillian Avendon. So in a sense, there was this, you know, whoever they selected for the nominations, there were lots and lots of people left out in the cold.
There do seem to be a lot of question marks over these awards. Last year, an interview on Theatre Voice revealed that there's quite a lot of the nominations are set up by producers. The actual votes are done by the panel, but it seems to be a very murky process. I mean, the Tony Awards are a complicated process as well, but they seem to be much closer to the Oscar system, that there are an awful lot of people voting. You can find out who they all are, their previous winners and players and producers, but that does produce a certain set of results. This seems to me to be carefully chosen members of the public and erstwhile members of various branches of the profession, none of whom may necessarily have any analytical skills, which means you do end up with some rather odd choices on occasion.
Well, dare I say, with due respect to my fellow constituents around this table, that it's a very British nomination and selection process, because it's very secret and it's very clandestine and nobody knows the truth. Whereas the Tonys, like the Oscars, I mean, there's, of course, a clandestine component to that too, but it's much more open. There's much more politicking. It's much more, vote for Avenue Q, vote for Wicked, do this, do that. Nobody says that here. They just sort of finesse it.
It does seem to be a kind of strange process.
It's very interesting. The theatre panel this year, as well as the members of the public who nominate themselves and then get selected by interview, included Yvonne Brewster, who used to run Tullowa, George Brock, John Chapman, John Goodwin, who used to run publications at the National, Harry Landis, an actor. It is an odd bunch. But then the Tony nominating committee is an equally perverse bunch. It includes people like theatre photographers, photographers, so there's no right way to do this. Perhaps what's interesting is the voting panel in New York is 700 and something people, and of course you can't second guess 700 people, and there's a big lobbying campaign as a result. Here it's just these 12 or 13 judges that need to be consulted. And of course you only need to give away free tickets to 13 people rather than 700, so that's another factor that goes into play.
Well, and also the way the Tonys, as we all know, sort of transform or transfix, more accurately, New York at a certain time of year, and they're on television, and yes, not that many people watch, but the people who do, you know, it's a sort of religious event. Here, the Oliviers aren't even shown. They're not shown.
Not televised at all. I mean, the closest you can get is a kind of simultaneous webcast of the results on what's on stage and the Society of London Theatre Awards, Society of London's website.
One wonders whether the Oliviers did, however, shoot themselves in the foot on that, and that they were so anxious to be telegenic that they got TV people into front it who didn't seem to have any kind of real major working knowledge of theatre, so you ended up with rather dull telly. Also, they made sure that all the speeches were terribly short, and everybody in the world knows that you watch awards ceremonies to watch people make fools of themselves and to say extravagant things and burst into tears, and if you're reduced to having 20 seconds at the mic, you're never going to say something interesting, so you ended up with bad television, which is now no television.
Well, the industry seems fascinatingly divided on exactly this topic. There are people who think that by not televising it, they're further marginalizing something that's already quite marginal. On the other hand, there are people who say, well, yes, but this makes it a party, this allows people to let their hair down, this makes for better speeches.
And you get wonderfully spontaneous moments, like last year Kevin Spacey singing to Judi Dench. This year the entertainment comprised a very wonderful spontaneous song sung by Lee Zimmerman, set to Cole Porter's Let's Do It, in which her husband Dominic Allen, who's a writer, rewrote the lyrics to reflect current shows. Let's Do It, Let's Fall in Love, and among the lines, Kevin Spacey on his mobile phone denied it, Let's Do It, Let's Fall in Love. Nathan Lane, for more than half the gross, does it. That was very good. The other entertainment anecdote that actually went badly wrong was that Clive Rowe and Ruby Turner were due to do a duet together, and they were both given the wrong cues, so only Clive Rowe appeared and had to duet by himself, particularly poignant during a dance break where he had to dance by himself on stage. But they then came back and did it again. Of course, the TV cameras, if it was going out live, that would have been a complete disaster. But it's interesting that the premier industry event of the year can't even get its stage management right.
Well, they got some things right. So there are definite awards that went to the right people. Paulie Constable getting lighting, Grand Hotel getting outstanding musical production. So it wasn't an entirely terrible evening, clearly. So we look forward to next year. Thank you, Matt Wolff, Mark Shenton.
Thank you.